evening is going to be taken from John chapter 19. John chapter 19, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right before the book of Acts. John chapter 19, and our focus will be on verses 28 through 30. John chapter 19, in our black pew Bible that's found on page 1051. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. John chapter 19 at verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, words have power. Words have meaning. What we choose to say, when we choose to say them, and even how we choose to say them, has a direct impact on the direction of our day, the direction of our lives, direction of our future family. But what about your last words? An interesting study has been done looking at some of the saints, the Christians who have gone before, and the last words of many of these men and women who knew that were dying, the last words that they chose to be the words upon their lips. And let's say, let's fast forward in your life a few years to that moment when you are nigh to finishing your race. The family that you have loved your whole life is surrounding your deathbed. You know that your time is short. What would you say? What would your last words be? Would they be assurances of love? Would they be words of warning? Would they be compassion? Would they be words of peace? Or would they be rebuke? Well, today we come to the final words of Jesus Christ recorded here in the Gospel of John, the last thing that he said as he finished his earthly journey. And as we all know, it is difficult to finish the race well. It is easy to begin some project. It's easy to start well, to have good intentions at the beginning of a new year, for example, with our new year resolution. But we give it up. It's too hard. It's too difficult. We throw in the towel. But to finish the race well, to be able to say, "I have completed the task. I have done the mission. I have done what was called of me." Well, today on this Good Friday, we consider these last words of the cross here recorded in John, where Jesus Christ speaks for our encouragement, for our comfort. "It is finished." Our text then comes to us in verse 30, where we read Jesus speaking this instructive word. In the Greek, in the original language, "it is finished" is actually one word. It's tetelestai. Tetelestai, meaning simply complete, finished, finalized, accomplished, brought to conclusion. And the word that Jesus here is recorded that Jesus spoke is in the perfect tense, meaning that it is a completed task with future implications. It is done once for all, a historically accurate event, but the reverberation, the echoes, the waves carry from this point. It's like a massive bell where you take a huge hammer and you slam it into that bell and the ring continues to echo for time. These final words of Jesus, tetelestai, it's not a whimper, it's not a moan of defeat. It is a shout of victory. It is a word of triumph. And after Jesus says these words, he is able to confidently lay down his cross and yield up his soul, his spirit, to his heavenly Father. Jesus, knowing that he had done it, what was asked of him, complete. And he could say, I'm done. I've finished it. It's not Jesus saying, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. Jesus is saying, I have done it. It's finished. Well, what exactly is this thing that Jesus has finished? He says, I have finished it. What is the it? What is it that he had completed? Well, the first thing that Jesus had completed was his life of suffering. He came to this world to be the Lamb of God who would lay down his life for the sake of his sheep, that suffering servant who would drink the cup of God's wrath until that cup was drained to the last drop. He came to become a curse, to suffer hellish agony, to be rejected and despised by men and even forsaken by his heavenly Father. And he could say at this point on the cross, it is finished. My suffering is complete. We know when we dissect the life of Jesus Christ and you look at the words of the Apostles' Creed, you have these steps of humiliation. He was born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. His life was a descent into hell. But it is finished. From this point on, it is the stair steps up to exaltation and glorification. At this point, Jesus is transitioning from humiliation to exaltation, having done what was necessary to purchase our salvation, suffering what was necessary for the forgiveness of God's people. The payment which the church should have given herself. The consequence of not only Adam and Eve, but your and my sinful actions. Jesus took that consequence to himself and said, I am going to stand here. I am going to remain here until I can say, I have done it. I did it. I finished it. Nothing more is needed. But not only was Jesus faithful in his passive obedience, bearing the consequence of our sin and misery, Jesus was also faithful in his active obedience. Jesus Christ came to this world to do the will of his Father. That's what John 4 says. My food is to do the will of my heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ was faithful in keeping all of his Father's commandments, keeping all of the law, keeping all the commandments of God, never breaking a single one of the commandments at any moment in thought, word, action. He could say at the end of his life, I have kept your law. I could be the blessed man of Psalm 1. I could be the holy man of Psalm 119 that delighted in your law from my youth. I loved your law and I have obeyed it. Fully keeping all of God's commandments, the work assigned to him complete. He could say to his heavenly Father, I have brought you glory. Mission accomplished. Not only was he faithful in his active and passive obedience, he was faithful in fulfilling the prophecies. Everything that the Bible would say about the coming Messiah and his suffering from Genesis 3 to the closing of the Old Testament, where he would be born, what would happen to him, what his life would be like. Even, our passage says, the very words that he would say. Isn't that what our passage says? Jesus, knowing that his life was almost at the completion, he says, there's one more thing I need to say. I thirst. I can't die until I say that last phrase, I thirst. And having said, I thirst, he then could say, it's finished. I have said, I have done everything that the prophecies foretold. As Matthew 5 says, I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. Not one tiniest fraction of a word that spoke about what Jesus Christ was to say and do would drop unfulfilled. I did it. Not only fulfilling all of the prophecies, he also, in fulfilling all of these prophecies and his active or passive obedience, because of all this, the Father could now say to him, well done, good and faithful servant. At the end of Jesus' life, the Father is no longer forsaking him. His conclusion, into your hands, Heavenly Father, I commit my soul, my spirit, because I have done it. In this way, the Father is giving his divine seal of approval by allowing his Son to say, for our sake, I have done it. I have now, Jesus said, I have now brought peace between God and man. And because of this, no other sacrifice will be needed. Up to this point in history, the blood of bulls and goats would have run red through Jerusalem. But after this point, no other sacrifice would be accepted, nor would it be needed. In fact, that curtain would be torn in two, and the temple would be burned. These ceremonial laws had been brought to an end to completion because the one perfect sacrifice had been offered. Hebrews 9 says he died once for all to make a full payment. Therefore, there would be no other sacrifices that would be accepted in Jerusalem. Because all of the ceremonies, all of those preparatory shadows were passing away, Jesus said, I did it. Don't go back to that. I've completed it. To try to go back to the blood of bulls and goats would be going from the greater to the lesser, to choose the shadow instead of the reality, because salvation had been purchased. I have dedicated myself to bring light and life and salvation to those who are lost. He could say to his heavenly Father, those whom you have given to me, I have saved. In Jesus' mind, he had this full-orbed concept of everything that was necessary of him. Because it says here in verse 28, it's actually the very same word that we find in verse 30. Knowing that now that all things were completed, and so scriptures would be fulfilled, this word completed, it was brought to an end, satisfied, accomplished. Jesus was thinking in his mind, everything that I needed to do in my earthly ministry is finished. Therefore, he could declare, for us, it is done. Now Jesus could rest. He could cease from his work of purchasing our salvation. Mission accomplished. The death I die for you. I stand in your place. I suffer what you should have suffered. What was necessary for your deliverance, I did. It is finished. I, the perfect Israelite, the seed of the woman, have fulfilled the promised salvation that Adam and Eve heard those thousands of years before. Redemption has been accomplished. But the fact of the matter is, people, human beings, mankind, are not satisfied or doubt Jesus' words. You see, we are constantly trying to add to Jesus' works or to supplement his merit with our effort. We think we need to do something, we need to add something, we need to get ourselves to a position that will be acceptable to Jesus, And even after Jesus has saved us, we tend to fall back into this self-reliant attitude that if I'm not good enough, Jesus may somehow forsake me. If I don't do enough, then I won't be saved. Here, Jesus resoundingly, resolutely, completely closes the door in any human addition. Jesus rebukes the mankind's tendency to try to add or to supplement Christ's work because he said, I did it. If Jesus did it, you don't need to because he did. It's done. And the fact of the matter is, you can't add to that which is complete. It is finished. And you can't even undo it. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we forget all that Jesus did. Or we neglect the benefits that we have received from Christ's completed work. Let this word of Jesus calm our fears, quiet our anxious souls, and rebuke us when we start to become proud and haughty. Jesus said, I did it. I finished it. Salvation has been accomplished. Mission complete. The enemies have been trampled. The power of Satan, the fear of sin and death, the curse of the law has been dealt with. Your dying will not pay for your sins. Your suffering is not because you are a sinner. Sin no longer holds you. I have broken its neck. Therefore, go, believe it, and speak of it. Believe it. Live your life in the comfort of this truth. And tell it to others that they too can be forgiven from all of their sins. Well, now that we understand just a little bit more about the large scope and importance of this one word that Jesus spoke, we continue in our second point by looking very briefly at what Jesus did not mean when he said, it is finished. What is not finished? Well, when Jesus said, it is finished, he was not saying his work was completely finished. He was not saying, well, I've done my job, now I'm going to sit back and relax. As you know, the body of Jesus is going to be taken from the cross and laid in the grave. We are now in this ripe period of contrast. Sin has been defeated, but death has not yet been fully overcome. The soul of Jesus is now with his Father in glory, but he hasn't been physically raised from the dead. So as of this is 19 verse 41, Joseph of Arimathea is going to take the body of Jesus and wrap it, and it's going to be placed in its tomb. And we know that something more needs to be happened. Needs to take place. In saying it is finished did not mean that his work was done. Something needs to happen. The sign of Jonah needs to be accomplished. Now, children, to learn about what the sign of Jonah is, you have to come back Sunday. I'm not going to tell you what that is. But Jesus has to fulfill the sign of Jonah. Saying that it is finished did not mean that Jesus' work is completely finished, that he has nothing left to do. Redemption has been accomplished, it's been purchased, but yet it needs to be applied. Jesus needs to rise from the dead. He needs to ascend into glory. He needs to sit at his Father's right hand. He needs to reign and rule over all. And one day he needs to return to judge the living and the dead. As we see in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Days 18 and 19, Jesus Christ even now is busy working for us. He is sitting at his right hand, at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's pouring out blessings upon us. He is giving us his Holy Spirit. He is protecting us. He is defending us. He is gathering his church. He is punishing God's enemies. And he will one day completely destroy all of those who rebel against him. As you can see, when Jesus said it is finished, doesn't mean that his work is finished completely, but his work of humiliation is now complete. Now begins his work of exaltation until the whole earth is filled with his knowledge. He continues to rule and reign over all for the sake of his bride, and one day he will come back to finish his work as the triumphant king and to judge the living and the dead. Even today, Jesus continues his work by building a place for us. John 14, I go before you to prepare a home in heaven, and I will take you to be with me, that where I am, you may also be. And he is preparing us for heaven. He is preparing us for the glories to come as his Holy Spirit continues to work within us. We all hope to finish our lives well. We all hope to finish our race and to be able to say at the end of our lives, we have done what God has called us to do. But we will never be able to say it without a tinge of guilt, knowing that there are certain things we didn't do that we should have, that there are certain aspects that we failed when we fell into temptation, when we allowed the fear of men to rule us. But Jesus could say, without a doubt, it is finished. I have done it. To conclude, today we have considered this one final word of Jesus Christ, the last word recorded in John during Jesus' earthly, humble, and lowly ministry. Jesus could say, the battle is won, but now the effect and fulfillment of this victory is still being applied. To say this another way, redemption has been accomplished. Now it is being applied. One day, the voice of Jesus will be heard again. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, when Jesus Christ comes back, he will come back with a shout, with a loud cry. Jesus will say to his people, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your master's kingdom. Until we hear the voice of Jesus again, let us rest and find comfort in this word our Lord spoke. It is finished. Your salvation and life have been purchased. Let us all depart this evening with joy in our hearts that we have been saved and forgiven from all our sins by the sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that dying on the cross, he might say, it is finished. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words that remind us of the blessings that Christ has purchased for us, that Christ could say at the end of his life, it's done. It's complete. Mission accomplished. We thank you that what he set his heart to do, that what you had called him to do, he was faithful to the end until he had accomplished it. May our hearts be filled with joy in this complete forgiveness of all of our sins in Jesus Christ. May we be filled with a comfort in knowing that salvation is not something we need to do, something we can do. And may we also be motivated to tell others of the great things that Christ has done for us and for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.